Hey folks, Ben Greenfield here.
Jessa Greenfield.
And we are here with Inner Circle Podcast number 5. And today's podcast is twofold. First of all, we're going to go through some things that you're going to find in a lot of grocery stores and on a lot of grocery shopping lists, and we're going to give you some good substitutes for those. And then we're also going to talk to you about keeping your kids fit and inspiring them to exercise.
Right.
So, of course, if you haven't heard the Ben Greenfield Fitness Inner Circle, which is kind of an extension of this podcast, basically what you get in this podcast.
You get me.
Kind of on steroids, yes. We've added a forum and a bunch of videos and bonuses, books, a lot more. We've done a ton of cool stuff inside the Inner Circle. We'll talk about it more with a special message at the end of this podcast. But for now, if you just want to check it out, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/innercircle. We promise not to talk about it and talk about it too much, but we're having lots of fun inside the Inner Circle. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about grocery shopping because we've gotten tons of questions from our members inside the Inner Circle. So we know there's lots of people who are wanting to know about this, and that is how to actually make some substitutes for some of the most unhealthy foods that pop up in the American diet. So what I thought would be fun was if I can go through and just kind of run some things by Jessa, because she actually does
I do the grocery shopping.
I do some. I get bananas sometimes.
You get bananas, and that's really about it.
So I will ask her about some of the substitutes that she would make. So this will kind of be like a lightning round Q&A with Jessa Greenfield. So let's start off with baked beans. Baked beans. Now, of course, I being the nutritionist, I know they're unhealthy. If you look at the label, they've got tons of sugars, like in the can,
like baked beans in the cans. Okay.
Yeah. That are like soaked in syrup, et cetera. Yeah. Like if you're somebody who's grabbing those and throwing them in your grocery shopping cart as a regular staple, what's something you could grab instead?
Well, baked beans is a full meal. Am I correct? I don't eat a lot of them. They are basically like a sugary bean dish, aren't they?
There's tons of sugar inside.
Well,
but
even if you make it yourself, it's a sugary dish in general. You could do, if you were going to make your own baked beans, maybe use a good sugar alternative like maple syrup or honey. But if anything you're going to buy in a can, even organic or anything like that, they're all going to be pretty loaded with sugar. Unfortunately, I can't think of a quick.
What about just getting
alternative
like
to that?
Black beans?
But that's not baked bean at the dish. Baked beans, like, aren't you talking about like Boston baked beans or something like that?
Yeah, but I mean, like, couldn't you just get like black beans and make yourself a dish with black beans? I mean, a lot of people I know just empty baked beans out of a can and heat those up in a dish. And
I thought you were talking like Boston baked beans, like you know that gross like dish they call Boston baked beans.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But what
that's what I thought you were talking
about.
Oh, well, yeah, I would, when I buy beans, I buy them in their whole form. I buy them in their dry form and soak them overnight and cook them the next day.
Now, what if you wanted to just like get canned, like black beans? Would that be okay?
If I was going to buy any kind of canned goods, I would do an organic kind of canned goods, because a lot of canned beans and stuff like that the actual cans have BPA lining in them and stuff like that, so they're bad that way. And then also like you said, they're soaked generally in a lot of salt, so you want to look for low sodium if you're going to buy them in the canned form. But ultimately the best form is buying them dry and soaking them. And it's not hard. I don't know, there's a couple extra steps, but it's not like anything that's a lot of work. So soak it overnight, you throw them in a bin of water overnight and soak them, and then that reduces the cook time also because they've been soaked, but it also gets rid of the phytates and a lot of other things that soaking does, which aids in digestion and They're just a lot, they don't give you the gas like what you would get like in a canned
bean. Yeah, that's what I've noticed, because I used to do a ton of canned beans, and now we soak the beans, and then I don't get the same type of digestive intolerance. So you can find like dried bags of beans.
Yeah, buying them in bulk is so much cheaper.
Can you get them
at
any grocery store? Just
we have a good bulk food store here where you can go, and they have probably pretty much anywhere you go, I'm sure you have a decent bulk food section. But yeah, you'll find it in the bulk food section, or you can find it in like where they have like the pastas and the beans, and you can buy them in the bag form. So it's a lot cheaper to go that way, and it's you have more control over how they're cooked, if they're overcooked or undercooked, or you know.
Once you've soaked a bean, how long do you actually cook it in water for?
Depends on the size of the bean. Like garbanzo beans, they take about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes to boil. And then like black beans, I would say 45 minutes. So it just really depends on the size of the bean.
So you lose some of the convenience of just dumping it out of the can into a skillet. But if you plan and prepare,
right,
then that's
not
necessarily
going to
do it.
And I think that's most of nutrition is it's really got to be planned.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, like this was how I used to be, were just scared of the bags of uncooked beans. The girl's like, what do you do with those?
It's They're very easy. It's not that hard.
So you soak them and then you just basically boil them for
Things like lentils.
Minutes.
Like if I want to make like a lentil soup or something, I just, like in the morning, I just throw them in a bowl of water and they soak all day. Lentils only need to soak for 6 hours, and then I just cook them in with the soup, and it's a snap.
Interesting. Okay. How about soups? Like you have all these soup powders and canned soups and
condensed
soups.
I would stay away
from
the powders altogether.
Why?
There's generally tons of sodium in them.
So instead of getting like a Campbell's soup, what would you grab or what could you use as a substitute?
Well, I like I said, I generally go, if I buy canned broth at all, I buy organic, and then you buy the, even organic though can have high sodium. So you gotta find the stuff that says low sodium on it if you're gonna buy canned.
Okay, so basically go for low sodium, but can a lot of the low sodium stuff still have MSG in it?
Well, that's why I go for organic.
Okay, so if you go organic and you choose low sodium, you're still getting a decent product when it comes
to
like a soup.
Yeah, you're getting a decent product. You're not getting as good a product that you can make at home. But again, like I said, that's in a whole other step. And that's a pretty big step, actually.
Is it a pretty big step?
Yeah,
for people?
I'm like, it is a process.
To go from
unless
can to making your own?
You just, you need like 3 hours out of the day.
Okay. All right. Now, let's go ahead and talk about pasta, just like a white flour spaghetti pasta that you grab off the shelf. There's lots of alternatives out there, do any of them like have a leg to stand on? Are they worth grabbing as an alternative?
You
to,
know,
like,
I've done
pasta?
Gluten-free pasta, like brown rice gluten-free pasta. And, you know, it was okay. It was kind of like sticky, though. It wasn't like tasty, in my opinion. I've done spelt noodles, and those are pretty good.
Spelt.
They're made out of spelt.
Now, do a lot of regular grocery stores have spelt noodles?
Probably not. You'd probably have to go to a natural food store. Like when I make miso soup, I use soba noodles. I don't know if you guys know what those are. They're made out of buckwheat.
Now, what about like a rice noodle, like a brown rice
noodle, or
brown rice pasta?
I've done brown rice, and it's good, but I don't love it for me personally.
Now, can't you also use as a substitute for pasta, especially if you're trying to go low calorie, like squash? Go ahead.
I found sprouted wheat pasta the other day.
Okay. Now, folks, those of you who want to know why you'd want to get sprouted wheat pasta, basically, wheat, even if it's whole wheat, has a lot of things like phytic acids and what are called lectins in it. And when you get a sprouted product, it tends to have a lot less of those digestive irritants.
That's
so
why you soak the beans.
That'd be the reason. Yeah, the same reason for soaking the beans. So interesting. But what about in terms of like low calorie, like using like a squash or something like that?
I've seen sweet potato noodles. Sweet potato noodles before, and I can't remember what they are called.
Well, when you've made spaghetti before for us, we've done it over like squash or cucumber.
Oh, you're talking about, like when I make, if you're really in the market to lose weight, here's a great way to do it. You want like, you know, marinara sauce on your spaghetti, blah, blah, blah. Well, that has a lot of carbs in it, right? So what I do, especially when our garden is in full bloom, we have zucchini just everywhere. So you just shred zucchini and you do your marinara sauce over the top of the zucchini. So it's kind of like a noodle, but there's no carbohydrates really, to mention, because zucchini has like very, very little sugar in it at all. It's just, that's a great alternative. So you could do that.
Gotcha. Now, how about,
I've had bean noodles before too. Like mm-hmm. You serve in Korean dishes mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing, you could go do a search for this on bengreenfieldfitness.com, would be miracle noodles, mm-hmm. which are made, they're a little bit different to cook, and they're best from Asian dishes, but they're made mm-hmm. from a root.
It's
called glycomannan, a root, and they're zero calorie. And those, if you cook them the right way, they're very interesting. You got to make sure to rinse them well. They taste a little like fish if you don't rinse them well. So, now how about snacks, like crackers and chips specifically? Like, a lot of people will duck down the snack aisle and grab, like, whatever, a bag of, even if they think it's healthy, like a baked Lay's or maybe some whole wheat crackers.
Here's like one that thins. Even our kids really
like
enjoy.
What are some good alternatives to those if you don't want, say, all the vegetable oils or the additives that are going to be in something like that?
Well, one that I like to do, again, when our garden is in full bloom, is kale chips. Basically, all you do is you just get a head of kale. You toss some oil on it, coconut oil preferably, because it'll be cooked at a semi-high heat, or a grapeseed oil or something like that. And then you salt them. And then you just lay them, you take the big vein out in the middle and you lay them out in the cookie sheet and you cook them at 350 for like 5 to 10 minutes until they kind of brown, and they are crunchy and delicious and amazing.
Now, what about, like, I've seen you come home from the grocery store before with a bag of chips, and I'm really not into chips, so I usually am not eating them, but what's that bag of chips that you get?
They're like a rice.
It's a rice chip.
Yeah, brown rice. Brown rice, not white rice, brown rice.
So you're not getting the wheat stuff. You're getting stuff that's actually made with rice. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Interesting. And that's what you'll get most of the time. I've seen you come home with like brown rice crackers, like the rice cakes, things like that. Those are the crunchy type of things.
Rice cakes are great too. Kids love them too. Mm-hmm. I put like a little bit of almond butter on them and throw some raisins on there, and our kids love them.
And for crackers, you make those flaxseed crackers, and we'll just tell folks, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/innercircle, and I think it's video number 3 where Justin makes the crackers.
And those are our staple, really. Yeah. Those are the ones we normally have at our house.
Yeah, and that video is free too. You can go watch it. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to salad dressing. We know that a lot of low-fat salad dressings have tons of vegetable oil, which can be real, real high in free radicals, and a lot of them add either sugar straight up or, sucralose or some type of artificial sweetener that's not all that great for you. Now, in terms of salad dressings, what would you recommend as a good substitute or a quick way to solve that problem?
Honestly, I haven't bought salad dressing in, I don't know, probably 5 years. Salad dressing is one of the easiest things to make. I make ours. I always have one bottle in our fridge at least, because it's nice to have it on hand if you just want to make a quick salad. So I at least make a bottle, and I always make it out of olive oil, because olive oil does really well if you don't heat it too high. So, and it's one of the cheaper oils.
Mm-hmm.
So I always use olive oil. One of my favorites is just like a honey mustard homemade dressing, which is basically just mustard, honey, apple cider vinegar is really good for you, actually, with apple cider vinegar and some olive oil and pepper. Mm-hmm. And I always have that in the fridge. If you don't want to make a dressing, a really good way that I use is I just squeeze some lemon juice on my salad, drizzle a little bit of olive oil on there, salt and pepper, and just toss it.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that's a good one.
Now, that made me think a little bit while we're talking about sauces and dressings. I recently came across a recipe for ketchup, to make your own ketchup, because ketchup is full of sugar. And this is something that Jess and I are going to start implementing. We'll let you know how it works out. But basically, you just combine these ingredients in a blender. You take some sun-dried tomatoes, and you want to soften them up, so you soak them for a couple hours, basically like a half cup to a cup of just sun-dried tomatoes. And then you get a quarter cup of apple cider vinegar. Okay, apple cider vinegar, very easy to find. Good thing to have around the house anyways.
Bragg's is the best.
Yeah, Bragg's brand. That's Braggs. A quarter cup of raisins. Okay, so far we've got sun-dried tomatoes, apple cider vinegar, and raisins. A quarter cup of onion powder. Add that in. And then finally about a tablespoon of sea salt. Take all that stuff, you put it in a blender, you blend it up, and that is kid-friendly and adult-friendly healthy ketchup that doesn't have a lot of the stuff in it.
It's basically sweetened with raisins rather than sugar.
Yeah, but you also don't get a lot of those preservatives and additives.
Well, you have the fibers and everything
that you're going to get with the ketchup. Yeah, and then you get all those extra nutrients in it, too. So, very interesting recipe for ketchup. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend you try that out. And just leave a comment on this episode if you try it out and you like it. So, let's go ahead and do just a couple more healthy substitutes for things that you'd commonly get at the grocery store. Juice. Now, there's lots of different kinds of juice out there in the juice aisle. What are you looking for when you're getting juice?
I generally don't buy it from concentrate. If I do buy juice, which is not very often, I'll just get an organic, non-concentrated juice. But when I serve it, I never serve it straight. I always cut it with some kind of water because it's just too sweet. Basically, juice is the fruit without the fiber, so you're basically only getting the sugar. It's almost as bad as soda. So I always cut it. If I ever serve it to my kids, it's always half juice, half water. It's never 100% water or 100% juice.
Gotcha. Okay, one more. Mm-hmm. Ice cream. Now, you've made a dish before that I really like, and it made me just as happy as when you make ice cream. And I think it had coconut milk in it, but what did you do? How did you make that?
Well, when I do like ice cream or make it, I get bananas and I cut them up into tiny little pieces and then I put them on a freezer and I freeze them, throw them in a blender. We use carob because it just doesn't have the
like caffeine. Carob powder.
Carob powder,
you can get
yeah.
that at most grocery
it doesn't have
stores.
The caffeine like chocolate does, and it's got a pretty similar taste. It doesn't taste exactly
like
it.
Well, it's lower in sugar, too.
Yeah.
It's made from a legume.
Right, and there's no added sugar. Mm-hmm. Chocolate, you have to add sugar to it to get it to be sweet. That's the only way.
Okay.
So I use frozen banana chips, a little carob powder, and a little bit of coconut milk, and I just throw it in the blender. And you have to have a pretty good blender for this because a lot of blenders can't handle
like a Vitamix.
Yeah, I'm like it gets pretty thick, and then I mean it's really thick. And then if I want it to be even more like ice cream, I'll throw it in the freezer for a little while, and then it gets more like ice cream. Otherwise, it's more like a soft serve, and it's really good. It's really good. If you want it sweeter, you can throw in some dates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I found another interesting recipe for a chocolate milkshake. And we've talked about stevia before.
Yeah.
Podcast number 4, we talked about sugar substitutes and how stevia is a good substitute. And this was basically coconut milk with ice added. And you can get the light coconut milk if you don't want all the calories of like a regular coconut milk. It was coconut milk with ice to add the texture. And then it was just stevia and unsweetened coconut or unsweetened carob powder.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, the interesting thing about coconut milk and even just coconut products in general is it regulates your, lymph nodes?
It's an immune system supporter. It's got the medium chain triglycerides in it. It can detoxify the digestive tract.
But
it's got
it controls
a lot of cool
like your body weight like levels too, is what I've read.
You know, I would have to look into that. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, I haven't heard that about coconut milk, but it wouldn't surprise me. It has a lot of positive attributes. So those are some of the substitutes that we make. And if you have other substitutes you want to ask us about, just leave them as a comment or a question on the show notes to this Inner Circle podcast, which is Inner Circle podcast number 5. Now, we also wanted to go over fitness and motivating your kids to get fit. One of the things that we really want to focus on is keeping
really
entire families fit and working out together. And so we wanted to share some ideas about things that you can do to make your kids respect fitness and get them involved.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I do personally is I make it a point to tell the kids anytime I'm going out to do anything, bike ride, run, going to the gym, playing tennis, playing basketball, anything, I tell the kids so that they begin to realize that it's normal to be exercising and to be engaging in physical activity every day.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because sometimes when we're in the car, the boys will see a bike rider and they'll think it's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, another thing that we do is twice a week we take our kids to the tennis courts. And we don't just play tennis with them. We kind of have this routine that we go through where we play chase. And then after we've played chase, we practice rolling the ball and throwing the ball. Yeah, and then really we'll fun. Practice swinging and we'll super act cute. Like, yeah, I'll give them certain animals and we play follow the leader. We play Simon Says. But at least for a half hour, twice a week, we do that structured physical activity. And yeah. our kids are 2.5, almost 3 years old. So that's another thing that we're doing to just get them to be physically active. And I have physical activity equipment at home. I have dumbbells, I have stability balls, Bosu balls, pull-up bars. And a lot of times, you know, the kids can grab that stuff and
the
play
boys
around
like to
with
do
it.
Yoga.
Yeah,
it's
they'll
kind of hilarious.
They'll watch mom do yoga videos at home
and
but
try it.
We're trying to expose the kids as we do that. Now, how about taking kids for a walk?
Yeah, well, in the winter months, it's a little harder to do, but, like, definitely, you can. You can break out the snowshoes and the backpack mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, snowshoe with the kids, which we have done. And
but it's so simple. And you've yeah. been doing that since they were little babies. And now they get out and they walk along with you sometimes. And
yeah. We, like, and especially in the summer, I always run with the boys and the jogger and everything. And so they absolutely love it. I mean, they think it's a great time and they see you working out and you're actually kind of including them in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know eventually they'll probably be riding their bikes next to me, you know, running, and then eventually they'll probably be doing it themselves. So I think that's a great way to involve your kids in your own personal exercise activities.
Yep. And keeping it fun too, just games like tag, hide and go seek. Yeah. We wrestle, we jump on the bed sometimes. Mm-hmm. Another thing is gardening. You know, over the spring yeah. and the summer, you talk about having a garden. I know some people don't have a garden, but those of you that do or those of you that want to have one, another
gardens
great way
great.
To get kids physically active.
I mean, if you have any little plot in your backyard, it doesn't even have to be something big. I'm like, it's great for the kids. They learn, like, I had the boys learning all of the vegetables and everything, and they were digging in the dirt, looking for worms, you know, and they're outside in the sun, and, you know, they're helping me move little rocks, or they think they're helping me move rocks and stuff like that. So they feel like they're kind of participating in with you on in this activity. And for us, it's a big part of our lives because our garden is fairly large, and so it's what we do in the summer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the important thing for folks to realize when you're trying to encourage your kid to begin exercising, you don't have to follow some magic formula of 5 days a week for 45 minutes or
no.
you know, doing a 7 day week
you
program.
You want to keep it fun.
All we're doing in terms of structured activity with our kids is twice a week for 30
yeah.
minutes. And then in a couple of months here, it will be tacking on a third time that'll be at the pool where they'll start into swim lessons. But our kids yeah. really look forward to going to the tennis courts now and playing all the little games
they
that we play with them. And we always keep it fun. Make sure that your kids are having
Make
fun.
Make sure
with
you're
it.
Having fun, too, because if you're not having fun, it's very evident to children.
Yeah, exactly. So just begin to get them involved and begin to set yourself up as a role model by being very clear with your kids what you're doing, when you're doing it, and make sure that fitness is not necessarily something that you keep hidden from the kids. I know some people do get their workouts out of the way when the kids are
mm-hmm.
are asleep
I
or before they get
sometimes.
Up. But you still want them to know that
yeah.
you exercise. And a lot of times, even when I finish a workout and you know, I start the workout at 6 and the kids are getting up at 7 or 7:30, I'll just tell them why I'm sweaty. You know, I'll be like, "Dad is sweating. I just finished a bike ride. I was exercising." And then they just know that you know, that was something that I was doing. But being mm-hmm. open with your kids about that is important, too. Don't be embarrassed about your exercise habits. Just open up, make your kids a part of it. Anything else, Jessa, you have to add to that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, yeah. cool. So, folks, if you have questions or comments or you want to add your own tips for people, go ahead and leave them as part of the comments to these show notes. And this is Inner Circle Podcast number 5. We're going to have a special message here, and that's it. So this is Ben Greenfield.
And Jessa Greenfield.
Signing out from
Thanks.
The Inner Circle.
Later. Finally.
A solution for healthy living that actually makes sense. Ben Greenfield and his wife Jessa have cracked the code on healthy living and revealed their entire system inside the Ben Greenfield Fitness Inner Circle, where you'll get instant access to 24/7 forum interaction with Ben and Jessa, a live monthly webinar, meal plans, videos, Ben's Body Transformation Club archives, and much, much more. If you or your family want to learn how to achieve the ultimate healthy lifestyle on a budget, then the Ben Greenfield Fitness Inner Circle is for you. Get 4 free videos to get you started and full access to the Inner Circle at bengreenfieldfitness.com/innercircle. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/innercircle. We'll see you inside.